Good morning, Cell Group, and welcome back to our consideration of last Sunday's Gospel, which is again from Luke. And Luke has some general points about prayer, which we'll go into first of all before we look at the text. And those general points would include the fact that prayer is very important for Luke in his Gospel. You find Jesus himself praying frequently. Many other people pray. Many prayers are given. There are three parables devoted to prayer. There's also two extended teachings on prayer in Luke. This particular one, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, and also chapter 18, verses 1 to 14. And Luke retains that importance of prayer when he writes Acts. Prayer remains vital in the Acts. And the heart of prayer, as you find in this extraction, is the heart of prayer is the Holy Spirit. So just having made those general points, we'll look at the text now. And that first verse, it's not impossible that the teaching that Jesus gave arose out of the curiosity of the disciples that saw him pray, and they wanted to be taught themselves. There was also a tradition that the rabbi would teach his students how to pray. So this is a common question and one that gives rise to today's readings. So I say this when you pray. So before we go into the words, I think it's good to know that this isn't just a formula, it's something to be stuck by. We find differences between these words and the words we would say in the liturgy. And those words would be a combination of what we find in Luke and what we find in Matthew. And there's also a third source for the prayer, the words of the Our Father, which is a book written, which isn't in the canon of the Bible, a book called the Didache, which was written in the first century. And it was written for Jews who had converted, and it was included instructions in prayer and gives us a version of the Our Father, which includes at the end of it, the power and the glory are yours forever and ever, which the Reformed churches have adopted and adapted by putting in thine is the kingdom. Anyway, small point, the main burden of the truth is that we get our liturgy prayer from Luke and Matthew. So, Father, may your name be held holy, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive each one who is in debt to us. And do not put us to the test. So in the face of it, you could say that any pious Jew could call God his Father. Nothing revolutionary there. But then it's hugely Christian, because we're adopted as children of our Father. So through baptism, we can call God our Father, just as Jesus did. And that's a hugely significant Christian awareness that we can have when we pray. Your kingdom come, all the values of the kingdom that Jesus preached, it's his kingdom of justice, of love, of peace. And it's still coming. It hadn't come and is now fading, as some people think. It's always coming. It's always in front of us. It's always been brought to birth by our good deeds and our good efforts and the grace of God working in us. Give us each day our daily bread. Literally, feed us with the food we need each day. And that's the Eucharist. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. Now, this is conditional on we ourselves forgiving each one who is in debt to us. So it's like an examination of our lives. We can't say these words without recognizing whether we're forgiving other people their sins or not. And do not put us to the test. That's the ultimate test. It faced and faces all Christians, whether they're going to give up their faith or hold on to it, despite all the persecutions and all the temptations to do so. So the extract continues then about the persistence of prayer. And in the East, hospitality was very, very important. So your friend would have offered you anything you would have asked for, even if he came in the night. So much so, would God give you. He's the giver of all good things. He would give you whatever you need. So it's not that the Lord has given us what we need because of our persistence, but the persistence is an indication of our continuing trust, that we never lose trust in the giver of all good gifts. So I now say to you, ask and it will be given to you. So there's three things here. What father would hand his son a stone when he asked for bread? When you look at these images, each thing that's bad looks like the thing that is good. I mean, sometimes a stone can look like a wee loaf of bread. A snake can sometimes look like a fish. And a scorpion, we're not so familiar with scorpions, but apparently a white scorpion can at times look like an egg, a small white roundy thing. So a caring father wouldn't make the mistake of giving stones or snakes or scorpions to his children. So the father then, this message has been reinforced by Luke, the father is the giver of all good gifts. So, let's look at some points then we could discuss. In the prayer that Jesus gave us as a model, the focus is not on getting God to do what we want, but in trying to be open to what God wants. Your kingdom come. That openness implies a trust that what God wants for us is our good. When have you found that you benefited when you were open to whatever happened and trusted that the Spirit was with you no matter what happened? The second point we could talk about is, in the culture of the Middle East, hospitality is a priority. It would be unimaginable not to help a friend. Just so it is unimaginable that God would ignore our prayer. When you think of the reliability of God, what are the images that you find helpful and that encourage you to persist in prayer? So let us pray. Provident Father, with the prayer your Son taught us always on our lips, we ask you, we seek, we knock at your door. In our every need, grant us the first and best of all your gifts, the Spirit who makes us your children. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. So God bless your work.